I want to consider with you this morning a verse from Philippians chapter 1. You'll find it in verse 6, but I'll read the first 6 verses again. Let me remind you of the context. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then the apostle writes, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This, I hope, will be a word of encouragement to you as you seek to press on and to follow hard after the Lord in the coming year. Now, just by way of introduction, Paul is writing from prison in Rome to the church at Philippi. And I was reminded by someone this week that he was in prison when he wrote this letter, 700 to 800 miles away from Philippi. How interesting that he doesn't seem to be taken up with his own concerns and needs. I think if I was in prison in the kind of conditions he was in, I'd be feeling sorry for myself and bemoaning the difficulties and the deprivations I was experiencing. But all that Paul seems to be taken up with is the church. The church he's been in, church at Philippi, no doubt other churches, he's been instrumental in his missionary journeys as founding. And of course, as he writes this epistle, he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we have here not just his letter, but the very word of God. So the church at Philippi was founded on his second missionary journey, and what memories he would have had. The remarkable leading of the Holy Spirit that we read of in Acts 16, forbidding them to go in one direction and then directing them in another direction. Then Lydia's conversion in Acts 16:14, how as she listened to Paul, the Lord opened her heart to receive, to understand what he was saying and to respond to it. Followed by her baptism, together with her household, who no doubt believed with her. Then the remarkable conversion of the Philippian jailer and his baptism, together with all his household who believed the message that they were then to hear. These brethren, and many others not mentioned, would have come to Paul's mind, and he thanks God for them and prays for them. He says in his letter, Paul gives thanks to God upon every remembrance, and he assures them of his ongoing prayers for them. He says he deeply appreciates their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, and he's confident that they are persevering, having heard a message from another person from that church. They're going on with the Lord. Now, as Paul casts his mind back then to those who believed at Philippi, and they're going on with the Lord, and they're persevering, he writes this to them, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's he talking about here? What is this good work that the apostle is referring to? Well, it's clearly the work of salvation. It's a great work. It's a glorious work. A work of sovereign grace. A work of the God who says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. A supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. A new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A wonderful work of salvation. And before we go any further, Let me ask you this question. Has God begun a good work in you, my friends? A work of grace. A work of salvation. Is there the evidence there to support any profession of faith? Are you prayerful? Do you love the Word of God? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, for his broken body and shed blood to make atonement for your sins? Has God begun a good work in you? Should you ever be in any doubt, never rest until you know that he has and that you belong to him. So then, with these thoughts in mind, let us turn to our text and look at it in a bit more detail. Paul clearly is here clearly concerned to assure them that God, having begun this good work, this great work of salvation, would certainly carry it on to completion. He would never abandon it half finished. He would complete it. He would perfect the mighty work of grace he had begun in their hearts. My dear friends, what a vital truth this is, and how we need to believe it and be encouraged by itself. If God has begun a good work in you, he will never give it up. He will never abandon it. He will continue it until he brings it to perfection. I say we need to be encouraged by it, but why is that? Well, because of the difficulties and the trials of the Christian life, because of our many falls and failures along the way. And many of us now are in old age, and we become very discouraged at times, I think. Well, I do. I don't know about you. I've become very discouraged. Having been a Christian for so many years, I can still fall and fail in ways that I shouldn't do. After all the mercies I've received from God and all the kindness and the love and the grace. And so, my dear friends, if any of you are struggling at this time spiritually, if you feel you're going backwards instead of forwards, take heart. The God who has begun a good work in you will complete it. I don't know if any of you have come across the writings of Samuel Rutherford, one of the Puritans. He wrote a lot of letters, of course, and he preached regularly, but he wrote a little book called The Loveliness of Christ. And in that he says, "I think the sense of our wants, when withal we have a restlessness and a sort of spiritual impatience under them, and can make a din, make a noise, because we want him whom our soul loveth, it is that which maketh an open door for Christ." And then he says, "And when we think we're going backward because we feel deadness, we are going forward, for the more sense, the more life, and no sense argueth no life." So don't be disheartened. God, if he's begun a good work in you, will carry it on and bring it to completion. So let's go on then, and again continue to look at a little more detail at this verse. Now, I expect that most, if not all of you, have heard of Michelangelo. He was a famous sculptor, painter and poet who lived between 1475 and 1564. One of his most famous sculptures is that of David, King David. Not, of course, he ever saw him. And Michelangelo decided he would make this sculpture of David, and he carved it, or chiselled it rather, perhaps we should say, out of a solid block of marble. And it took him many, many years to complete. And of course, that was an incredibly difficult work. One false blow with a hammer and the chisel, and if too big a piece came off, the whole would be totally ruined. He couldn't put it back together again. So think of the difficulty of such a work. How easily it could have been ruined. No doubt he set out to produce a perfect image of a man, and initially, apparently, it was held up as a perfect model of male physique. However, the sculpture is now said by some to exhibit characteristics of someone having a hip problem, and toes that show some defect, perhaps not so perfect after all. Now, my dear friends, there's something like, not the same as, but something like the work of a sculptor in salvation. Except in this case, the sculptor is God, the Almighty, and the material is not a piece of marble, but a fallen human being, a piece of fallen human clay. God's work in salvation is to take men and women, ruined in the fall, and to make them perfect. Perfect. What a work this is! A work so difficult that only God in Christ can do it. To use a different and a biblical analogy, God is the potter and we are the clay. He speaks of this in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 18, and he refers to it again in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9. Either way, the end in view is a perfect man. There's a very interesting verse, a very helpful verse, in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 13, where Paul writes, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So, like the sculpture of David, this work of redemption and salvation, this work of making us perfect, is a work that has a beginning and an end. And this aspect of salvation is often easily lost sight of. If we're not careful, we can lose sight of the goal of salvation. The initial blessings of salvation are so great, we tend to concentrate on them and forget the end that God has in view. We rejoice in forgiveness, and rightly so. The new birth, adoption into the family of God, justification by faith. We gladly embrace reconciliation with God and peace with God. It's a marvellous thing that we have union with God in Christ, and we abide in him and he in us. We are ever thankful for the gift of eternal life, Romans 6:23. What blessings these are! And we can enjoy them and thank God for them now. But all these blessings are only the prerequisites leading up to the finished work of salvation, when believers are made perfect and finally glorified. Let me remind you again. The day is coming when sin, my sin, your sin, will be finally and eternally eradicated. It will be no more. And a full conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ including at last a body like unto his glorious body. God, who has begun a good work in you, will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ, at his coming again, at the resurrection of the dead. Every Christian, every believer will receive a body like unto his glorious body. All the souls of just men made perfect in heaven shall be reunited to their bodies, but given a body like unto the body of Christ. Those who are upon the earth when Christ comes will be caught up into the clouds to him and changed. Paul says we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Incredible thoughts. But this will come to pass. This is all certain. But in the meantime, we're having to go on. We're having to fight against sin. We're having to mortify the lusts and desires of the flesh. And this work of God in this life, having been justified freely by his grace through faith, we call the work of sanctification. this work of sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Between now and our death, or between now and the coming of our Lord Jesus, whichever comes first, we cannot say with any certainty for ourselves, we have to battle on. We have to fight against sin, the world and the devil. We have to seek to be holy. We have to pursue holiness, which the Bible says, without which no man shall see the Lord. So for every Christian, sin has been banished from its regency, but not from its residency. Sin no longer reigns over us, but it does have a residency, alas, and we mourn over it. We mourn over our sins. We're sorry for our sins. If we could, we would never sin again. That's true, isn't it? If you could, you would never, never sin again. But whilst we're in the body, while this work of sanctification is progressing, this work of making us perfect at last is continuing, we struggle, we fall, and alas, we often fail. Now, because this work is frequently spread over many years, progress may seem to be slow, even imperceptible. You sometimes get cast down on account that you feel you're making so little progress. As Rutherford says, sometimes we feel we may be going backwards instead of forwards. Another writer, this is Thomas Brooks, who wrote a little book, Smooth Stones from Ancient Brooks. Spurgeon extracted a lot of pithy comments from that book and put them in another one, which you may or may not have read or have. And in this book he says this, a very helpful comment, very near the end, which is quite interesting. All who grow rich in grace grow rich gradually. The sun ascends by degrees. Children, plants and trees grow by degrees. So do saints in spiritual things. As to temporals or temporal matters, it is true that by the death of a friend or this and that providence, they become rich on a sudden. But no soul that is rich in grace attains this treasure suddenly. The path of the just is as a shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So never get discouraged and disheartened because progress may seem so slow. It's happening. It is taking place. God is working in you. He's working in you to make you perfect and complete at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Romans 13:11, where Paul writes to the Christians there, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. That is its consummation. How long have you been a Christian? We sometimes think back, don't we? We may be able to identify a particular year, even a month, a week, a time, or maybe not. But look back. How long have you been a Christian? Well, for many of us, it's a long time. But salvation is nearer to you now than when you first believed. Many years have passed, many years of walking with God, many years of being kept by him, comforted, strengthened, sanctified by him. Our final perfection is nearer than when we first believed. Now, going back to the work of a potter or a sculptor, the material he's working on is lifeless and contributes nothing to the process. The marble is just a material. The clay is just a material. It's the potter himself or the sculptor that does all. On the other hand, in the work of sanctification, we are to be highly active. Whereas with the clay or the marble, if it's marble or stone, it contributes nothing. In the work of salvation, in the work of sanctification, we're to be highly active. We are to engage in the process of sanctification as though everything depended upon us. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Strive after perfection. It's not achievable in this life, but live as though it were. Live each day as though you could be perfect, and strive to be perfect. Again, we're to pursue holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Therefore, when we think of our salvation, we should think about it in its fullest scope and extent. Its beginning, our conversion, our regeneration, the new birth, its continuance over many years for many people, and then its end, its consummation. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Once again, do we perhaps have a deficient or inadequate view of salvation? You see, the goal, our goal, should not just be reaching heaven. We think a lot about that, I hope you do, but being made fit for heaven. That work of God, that work of grace being completed in us so that we are made perfect and fit for heaven, fit to join that great company already there, described in Hebrews as the souls of just men, no doubt women, made perfect. Are we aware, as we should be, of the great work of God that is going on within us every day, a work he will never abandon? He will never give you up. He will continue, whatever falls, whatever failures. And so, are we as active as we should be in furthering our growth in grace and holiness? Remember, Jesus said our destiny is to be like the elect angels in heaven. We read, we shall shine like the sun, Matthew 13:43. This great salvation, the end of it is to be fully conformed to the image of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. See the progression, see the certainty. Once we're saved, once we're in Christ, we're saved forever. And God will pursue and persevere in this mighty work of transformation, in making us perfect, in making us fit for heaven. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3:2 that when we see him, we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. Do you remember the words of David in Psalm 17:15? As for me, he says, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Now, my dear friends, isn't that something worth living for? Isn't that something worth waiting for? And isn't that something worth working towards? Remember, God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it. He will finish the work he has started. And the perfection of the individual is not the only goal that God has in mind. The final goal God has in mind is the perfection of the whole church, the whole body of Christ, every one of his elect people, all that have been chosen before the foundation of the world, redeemed in time. The part of that body of Christ, he's working for the perfection of the whole. He's working to sanctify it, says Paul in Ephesians 5. He's working to sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself at the end, that is, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the big picture. God is working in the individual Christian, the saint. He's working in you if you believe and trust in him, and he will finish and perfect that mighty work of salvation. You will be one day perfect and made fit for heaven, but you're one of a number. You're only part of the body of Christ. There's going to be an innumerable number of saints, a multitude that no man can number, drawn from every nation, tribe and tongue. And it's the church at that day of consummation, fully glorified, fully perfected, that is the goal. So do be encouraged by the forgiveness of your sins. Do thank God for adoption into the family of God, and having the spirit of adoption, having God as your Father, the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. But look beyond all that to the final goal of God, the final completed church, the work of God, when we're all gathered together. And so, my dear friends, what a work this is, and what a destiny we all have individually if we're in Christ, and also corporately. This little church here, with just a handful of believers, is just a microcosm of the whole, the great and the glorious, that one day shall be assembled, of which we shall be a part by the grace of God. Someone was saying to me, commenting on this passage, and gave me this thought. He said, sometimes you go, if you like walking, you go on a walk, and the walk you go on is in a hilly area. You go up many hills and down the other side, and then up and down again, but eventually you get to the top of the end of your walk, and you look back. You're on the summit. You can look back and you see the undulations, and you think to yourself, all those ups and downs, the hard work of walking up the hill, the easy work of going down. It's something like that, isn't it? When we get to the end of our lives and get to glory, we shall be able to look back on the many undulations, the many ups and downs, but God has brought us to the summit, to the pinnacle, made perfect, fully conformed to our blessed Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. My friends, how blessed we are. What a glorious future we have set before us. This new Lord's Day, the first day of 2023, let's be encouraged by it. Press on. Paul says, I press towards the goal. What? For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have an upward call. Let's press on then to the prize, that fully completed work of God at the last day. Amen.